أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome again to our course from Ali alayhi salam to Al-Mahdi alayhi salam. This is the second session of the new section of the course, which is the Mahdi digging out the facts, and it's the 14th session of the actual course, the full course. So we've come quite ahead in this discussion on Imama, and we've started the discussion on Mahdawiya, which again, as I'm sure you all know, is completely based on what we've been discussing so far from the start of the course. So we've established many things so far, and alhamdulillah, in the previous session we went one more step further and established the fact that the notion of the Mahdi, the notion of this savior that is going to come sometime, okay, so we haven't yet established when he's going to come, but this concept of a savior who's going to come is a concept that is established and that's been there since, we could say, the start of humanity, right? We've seen it in early religions, and then in Judaism, in Christianity, and again the Quran also indicates to this reality, the reality that there is a savior from God who's going to come and establish justice in the earth, establish peace in the earth, give the right of authority to the righteous servants of Allah, those who submit to Allah, those who will faithfully govern the people with justice, with peace, inshallah. So the Quran told us very general things, okay, and obviously we want to know more about this topic. And as we know by now, the Quran doesn't usually give us very many details about this concept. It usually gives us some general principles and pushes us towards the Prophet and the Imams to get more understanding. So alhamdulillah, today in the studio we have Sheikh Imran. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikhana.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
So we'll have Sheikh Imran giving us more details about this concept of Mahdawiyah, what Islam has to tell us in light of the ahadith of the Imam, and basically going into the details of who this savior is going to be, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi sallam. So just as you mentioned, we've had some preliminary discussions already, and alhamdulillah we've come a long way, and we've established some main criteria from the aql, from the Quran, etc. But before we get into the textual side of evidences, just a few questions that we need to just ponder over beforehand.
Okay.
That could potentially help us when analyzing text.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah.
So we've established these main criterion concepts, but here's a question for you, first of all, and for our dear viewers as well. Now that I have established from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that there's definitely going to be 12 after him, and thereafter, let's call it 11 of them, are front runners, self-evident a'imma alayhi salam, calling out my intellect, one after another, does it make sense, just out of chance, let's call it, does it make sense now that one after another, there would be a huge gap whereby the chain of these impeccable leaders after the Holy Messenger is suddenly instilled, and suddenly there's thousands of years between us and that final 11th Imam? It seems as though that this kind of scenario would be against the grain. Okay? Yeah, yeah. And therefore, we can, prior to even going into the text, we can already say to ourselves that there should be a consecutive number of leaders. They should be all impeccable. They should be the best of their time.
Yeah.
And it should be something very clear for us that even any other school of thought, for example, would be able to sort of justify and would be able to attest to the fact that these were impeccable people.
In fact, I would go and say that we would expect that consecutive chain to continue. Mm-hmm. And today we would ask, why didn't it continue? Right? Nobody would be like, okay, it stopped at 11 and there's a gap between the 11th and the 12th one.
Correct.
We would say, okay, the 12th one came and then what?
Yes.
So it's actually quite obvious that the 12 would come one after the other.
Correct. Right? And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. Just a few nights ago, I was thinking a lot about the problem of the Imam being in ghaibah. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but this is an interesting thing. Do you remember when we were trying to establish Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Often the issue arises that people go to the problem of evil, And that stops them from believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the actual intellectual approach, the logical approach would be, no, now that I've established Allah Azza wa Jalla exists,
let me go and understand the exactly problem of evil.
Why is it now evil exists? Exactly. Not that I've done this,
Ahsant.
Evil exists, so I'm going to go and rebuttal myself on that
Very
one.
Good point.
The same thing with the ghaiba, okay? If it's established that there's a whole consecutive thing, I should be asking myself, my intellect tells me now that I've reached the 12th. Now explain to me, what is the philosophy behind this occultation? Which I think, inshallah, in the later sessions, I should be getting into. Okay, so before we start the discussion, I just wanted to tell our dear viewers and, of course, yourself, we'll be splitting the evidences, the textual evidences today between the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and thereafter the literature that we find in our own hadith corpus as well.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to mention is a few statements from our early, from our recent scholars regarding the issue of Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajahu al-sharif. It was fascinating. So we have the famous Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani, who has written a work, Ilahiyat, which is a four-volume work. Amazingly, in this volume, he lists 14 different types of riwayah concerning Imam al-Mahdi. So, for example, some of them are about giving the good tidings that he will come, some about regarding the fact that he will be the final of the 12 khalifas, etc., etc., etc. Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani compiled all of the riwayat together, and there was 3,000, I've got the number here, 3,016 ahadith across the board just regarding Imam al-Mahdi.
Wow.
Okay, a portion of those the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah would disregard because it's regarding the wilada of Imam al-Mahdi, and they're 99.9% of them, I would say all of them, are found in our own hadith corpus. Otherwise, they would have to start believing.
Yeah.
Although some of them do, and inshallah we'll get to that. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, let me introduce you to a book by a great scholar of today. His name is Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Hussein al-Milani, who has written a book, Al-Imama. In this book, on page 477, he suggests something that I found very interesting. Okay, and I'll just read this off to you. He says, the fifth mas'ala, al-Imam al-Mahdi, الَّذِي لَا خِلَافَ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لِأَحَادِيثِ الْمُتَوَاتِرَةِ. So he says here that regarding the mas'ala of Imam al-Mahdi, he believes there is no discrepancy, there's no disparity between the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the tashayyu', and he goes a step further and he says this is mutawatir. This has reached such a point that the common group of normal people, he says, no, in this mas'ala, there is no khilaf in it whatsoever. Yeah. Which got me thinking that, okay, if that's the case, then let's see, let's go a little bit further and see down the rabbit hole whether or not that is the case.
Yeah.
Okay. A few narrations. First of all, this is the narration regarding what I think Sheikh Miqdad had spoken about, the 12 khalifas.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So this hadith is found in several different books, but I've got two of the main ones here in Sunan Abi Dawood. Okay, so it says here that it is narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he says, "La yazalu hadha ad-din azizan illa 12 khalifa." Okay, so he says this deen will not cease until and unless we have 12 khalifas. Okay, and then he said kulluhum min Quraysh, according to this hadith.
Yeah.
Okay, a second one is exactly the same. La yazalu hadha deen qa'iman, slight difference, hatta yakuna alaykum 12 khalifa kulluhum tajtami'u alayhi al-umma. There won't be, this deen will not stand up upright until 12 khalifas come, and they and the whole ummah is unanimous over them. Why have I brought this though?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Imam al-Mahdi here.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the link here altogether? Fascinating. These two riwayat are the first riwayat in Sunan Abi Dawood from which bab? Kitabul Mahdi. Subhanallah. It's not just about matter of reading the riwayat and saying there's 12 khalifas after me. Why has the author of this book placed these two riwayat in Kitabul Mahdi? He's done so because of the few riwayat that will come afterwards. He's done so for this reason, that the final one of those 12 will be the Mahdi. Otherwise, there's no reason for him to be putting this hadith in this kitab altogether.
Mm.
Okay. What about the sanad of this? Well, the famous Albani, the great Salafi scholar in terms of Rijal, etc., he has said that both of these ahadith are with sahih sanad. Yeah. Okay, and we'll justify that for the time being, because if we go into all the different asanad.
And we said in Sheikh Mehdad's session that the reason we're using Sunni and Salafi riwayat and tasheeh of ahadith is to show that, look, they don't have an incentive to lie about this.
Correct.
Right? Because in reality, if we dig in a bit deeper, this is to their own detriment, right? Because these are concepts that they don't actually essentially believe in or have it strongly in. It's part of their common beliefs at the moment.
Precisely, yeah.
So when they authenticate these and they claim that this is tawatur in this, this is to our benefit. It shows that this wasn't a Shia made up view.
It's something that's
been there across the board, yeah.
Correct. Okay. The next hadith, which is an important one, is regarding the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do two things with respect to Imam al-Mahdi. Okay? And I'm calling him Imam al-Mahdi based on what the Sunni scholars have been talking about. Because at the end times, he is the Imam.
Mm-hmm.
He is appointed from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And he is someone that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied.
Yeah.
In actual fact, it's pure Imamah.
Yeah.
The issue is that it's just not started yet in their manhaj. Okay, so two things. Allah will extend the dunya with respect to Imam al-Mahdi, one. And number two, justice will prevail over oppression, which is something that I'm sure all of our viewers have heard before. يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْطًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. What does Ibn Taymiyyah say regarding this type of hadith? In his Minhaj al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, volume number 4, page 95. Let me read the hadith to you. He says, وَأَحَادِيثَ الْمَهْدِي مَعْرُوفَ رَوَاهَا a few people. He says these ahadith of Imam al-Mahdi are very famous. And he lists a number of people that have narrated them. Number one, Imam Ahmad. He means Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Number two, Abu Dawood. Number three, At-Tirmidhi. And then he says, وَغَيْرَهُمْ. Other people have narrated. كَحَدِيثَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ مَسْعُودِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ. He gives an example. He says this hadith. Okay. He says, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ. He says, if it was the case that there wasn't anything left of the dunya except one day, لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would extend that day. For what reason? حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِيهِ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. Amazing. This concept, I thought about this much. What is this? And this has been narrated on various different books that he hasn't even brought them here. I mean, you tell me, what do you think to this idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extending a period of time for that person until he raises him? Okay, there's two options. Number one, he's not born, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends that time period to such an extent that there's one day left. Or it's almost describing a type of ghaiba that's happening here. Amazing.
What also strikes me is the word ahl al-bayt.
So this is the second point. It's often an issue when we say that the Ahlul Bayt, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذِبَ عَنْكُمْ وَرَجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. And have you noticed normally there's a problem that arises? They say, okay, fine. We'll give you Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fatimah al-Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and we'll stop there. Tell us now, what about Imam al-Sajjad, Imam al-Baqir, Imam Sadiq, ila Imam al-Mahdi? Amazingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the tongue of the Holy Prophet, the Holy Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is saying that this al-Mahdi that will come, min ahli bayti, Allahu Akbar, that he is from my ahl al-bayt. That doesn't necessarily mean that he was living at that time or he was from the household of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatimah al-Zahra. Rather, the lineage, and if he's not born yet, the lineage that continues thousands of years later, Rasulullah says, min ahli bayti.
And interestingly, this is a very good point that this lineage, it's not random people, right?
Correct.
Random people wouldn't be part of Ahl al-Bayti.
Yeah.
It has to be those special people who are purified from. And the other way we can also establish the fact that, I don't know if this was said clearly before, but another way we can establish the fact that Ahl al-Bayt include all the 12 is with the hadith of Thaqalain, where he said that the Quran and the Itra Ahlul Bayt are always going to be together. And we said that it doesn't mean in terms of physical copy.
Yeah.
So as long as the Imam is there, there's always going to be an Imam. As long as the Quran is also there, it's with them to do tabeen of the Quran. And these are the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. So again, another way to also show that the Imams are these Ahlul Bayt.
So the first part of this, Allah will extend the dunya, even if it's one day left, number one. Number two, that person that He will raise will be from my Ahlul Bayt. Number three, in this riwayah it says, Ismuhu ismi, wa ismu abihi, wa ismu abihi isma abi. So this is the slight difference between the riwayat of Ahlul Sunnah and Tashayyu. So it says, His name will be my name. There we have a common denominator, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And his father's name will be my father's name, which is where the disparity comes in this hadith. But then the third part, which is what we were saying, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. Now, interestingly, let me take you through a few other people that have looked at the sanad. For example, Albani. So it says, الْحَدِيثُ بِهَذَا اللَّفْظِ فِي سُنَنِ أَبِي دَاوُودِ in the Kitab of Al-Mahdi, again, وَصَحَّحَهُ Albani. So Albani said this hadith is sahih. And for example, the hadith from Salama, Abu Huraira, wa Abi Sa'id, it says, هَذَا حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. And in another one, هَذَا hadith, he's talking about, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, the same part, but from a different narrator that doesn't have the ending, that he's from my Ahlul Bayt. The author says here, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. And Tirmidhi has said the same thing about this. So we know that according to the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, this idea of extending the day, raising from my Ahlul Bayt, and filling the earth with justice and adala, the same way that it was filled with oppression, exactly what we have in our riwayat. Yeah. This is something accepted upon from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in terms of their ulama. Okay. The third set of narrations that you find in Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the following, that just like we mentioned, the Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja, will be from my lineage. And then in another set of ahadith connected to this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi amazingly says that he won't just be from my lineage, but he'll be from the lineage of Fatima al-Zahra. Okay. Now this is where it gets very interesting. In Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he quotes this hadith, and we'll inshallah refer to his book in just a moment. He says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المهدي منا أهل البيت. The Mahdi is from us, the Ahlul Bayt. يُصْلِحُهُ اللَّهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. Allah will make his affair correct in just even one night. It's trying to do, it's trying to indicate here, it's trying to do ishara that in a split moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can release or, for example, make the conditions set so that this Mahdi from my lineage is able to come about. Okay, so this hasn't yet talked about Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Ibn Majah narrates the same thing, Al-Mahdi minna ahlul bayt yuslihu Allahu fi laylatin. So this is in volume 5, page number 541, and in Musnad Ahmad, this is volume 2, page 74. What does Albani say about both of these ahadith? He says both of these ahadith are sahih. He says these are correct. Okay. If we look at Sunan Ibn Dawood with regards to this narration, in volume 4, page number 1832, he says something slightly different. He says, Al-Mahdi min itrati min wulli Fatima. So this is where the qaid, the context of Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha is now coming in. So he says, Al-Mahdi is from my itra. Inni tarakum fikum al-thaqalain kitab Allah wa itrati is from my itra. And now he adds from Fatima to Zahra.
It's really interesting for the Prophet to add this idea to specify Hazrat Fatima, because that gives centrality to her, right?
Correct.
That gives importance to her, that it is through her. Who else could it be through, right? The Prophet was not known to have any other offsprings, right? That reach an older age. Therefore, it's clearly from Sayyidah Fatima, but he's insisting on this is going to be from this lineage.
Yes.
Is really important. He's, because in the Arab times, the lineage normally goes through the boy, right?
Boy, yeah.
This is a girl, and he's insisting that those who come after him associate them to me,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a really important point.
Correct. You know, because you can intellectually fathom a situation whereby, according to the Ahl Sunnah, Rasulullah would be raised, you know, as a prophet, okay? And he would offer Islam to the people, people would accept. And then for whatever reason, this لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرْهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ has not yet materialized. And a random person later on, who's like a faqih, a very knowledgeable person, knows the Quran, etc., but has no connection with Rasulullah whatsoever, Allah could have made him the Al-Mahdi.
Mm.
True or not?
Yeah.
But here in the riwayat of Ahl Sunnah, they're saying no. There's some type of specific ingredient, a golden ingredient here that he has to be linked to me.
Mm.
And he has to be linked through Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha.
Yeah.
Now, this is a book, brothers and sisters. It's the Ahadith of Imam al-Mahdi, just with regards to Ahmad bin Hanbal. Let me take you to page number 91. And this might get a bit long-winded, but it's important for the brothers and sisters and for us to sort of pay attention to. Okay, this is Bab al-Thani, and he says, and is under the title of How Rasulullah has said Al-Mahdi min itrati min wuldi Fatima. Okay, because remember this was from Sunan Ibn Dawud. This is now Ahmad bin Hanbal. He narrates the sanad, and then he says it's a conversation between himself and Fatima bin Zahra. Amazing. He says, Nabiyuna khayrul anbiya wa huwa abuk. He says, Ya Zahra, our prophet is the greatest of prophets, and that's your father. He's talking about himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Wa shahiduna khayrul shuhada wa huwa amma abika Hamza. And the best of shuhada is your uncle Hamza. He says, and the one who flies in Jannah with two wings is your uncle Ja'far. And then he says, وَمِنَّا سِبْطَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الْحَسْنِ وَالْحُسَيْنِ. He says, and the two grandsons of this ummah is al-Hasni wal-Husayn. And these are your two sons, وَهُمَا ibnak. This is amazing. وَمِنَّا الْمَهْدِي. That's the first narration. Okay. The second narration. He says, amazing. I just want you guys to picture the context of this. I was reading this. I was fascinated. It says that there was a group of people that they were talking about Imam al-Mahdi in front of Salama, the wife of the Holy Prophet. Now, just place yourself back 1,200 years ago. We've got companions of the Holy Messenger, according to Ahl Sunnah, that are discussing the Mahdi. Question, how many of us today are discussing Imam al-Mahdi regularly? They were discussing it 1,200 years ago, okay? And Salama overhears them. What does she say? She says, فَقَالَتْ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ يَقُولَ الْمَهْدِي مِنْ عِطْرَةِ مِنْ وُلْدِ فَاطِمَةِ. Amazing. She's not only heard it from the Prophet, she's heard it, she's recorded it, and she's remembered it in front of people, and it's been narrated. Amazing. Continuing about the Al-Mahdi being from the wuld of Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayhi wa sallam. Ahmad bin Hanbal narrates the same thing with a different chain, so I'm not going to read that out to you, okay? And let me skip to this last bit here, okay? He narrates another hadith of the same thing with a third chain, and then he makes a conclusion at the end, which is very interesting and which really drives home the importance of the mas'ala of Al-Mahdi inda Ahl al-Sunnah. Next to the Ahl Sunnah. He says at the end, he makes it a summary on page number 94. He says, وَانْضِمَامُ هَذِهِ الْأَسَانِيدِ بَعْضُهَا إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. He says, if you were to put all together the different asanid and everything that goes with it, وَإِيدَاعِ الْحِفَاظِ ذَلِكَ, and if you're looking at like making a compilation and protecting all of these things and putting them all together, what's his conclusion? فِي كُتُبِهِمْ يُوجِبُ الْ, interesting, يُوجِبُ الْقَطْعَ بِصِحَّتِهِ. He says these narrations about the Mahdi being from Wuld Fatima, it gives us yaqeen, qata,
certainty,
yeah, that it is correct and it is sadir, that is come from the Holy Blessed Tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is regarding al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi's prophecy of ghayb that he will be from Fatima al-Zahra sallallahu alayhi.
Excellent, very nice.
So we've discussed three important ahadith, and just for the sake of the viewers and making it sort of, you know, digestible, etc., there are a plethora of ahadith that I haven't mentioned. Some of them describe Imam al-Mahdi's features even. Some of them describe them what's going to happen. I was reading a riwayah that he will be given bay'atu at the Kaaba. And flags will rise from the east and people will come to his aid, etc., etc., etc. Many, many things that are a common denominator between the two schools of thought.
Yeah.
MashaAllah, it's in plethora in there, ahadith corpus. It leaves one last thing, and that is, what about Imam al-Mahdi and the fact that he's not born? Okay. Let me just mention very briefly the idea of Imam al-Mahdi in the books of Ahl al-Sunnah. When I was looking at it, we have about 50 scholars from Ahl al-Sunnah that have written books on Imam al-Mahdi. 50 scholars, separate scholars, that have written books about Imam al-Mahdi. One of the famous ones is Aqd al-Durar fi Akhbar al-Muntadhar, which is from al-Bayhaqi al-Shafi'i. He's written a book about Imam al-Mahdi, a very thick book, almost this big. I wasn't able to bring it here today.
Interesting.
But we've got about 50 scholars narrating about Imam al-Mahdi. Let me introduce you to a few of the other people that have a slightly different opinion. Okay, so this is still within amongst the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the ulama from within them. This is a book about Imam al-Mahdi. It's like, almost like an encyclopedia. And interestingly, in this book, this muhaqqiq, this researcher, he mentions, and let me just count it for the brothers and sisters here, he mentions 66 of the ulama from Ahl al-Sunnah. They don't just believe in the fact that Imam al-Mahdi will come. Rather, it says here, ulama Ahl al-Sunnah wa wiladat al-Mahdi. 66 different ulama that believe that the Imam was actually born.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, by default, he is in ghaiba.
Yeah.
Okay. One of them, let me narrate to you what he says in his book. He says, he describes what the Shia believe in, etc. That, for example, Imam al-Mahdi was born on the 15th of Sha'ban in the 255 year after Hijrah, and that he is mulaqab bil Hujjah al-Qa'im al-Muntadhar Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Askari, etc., etc. That he went missing in Samarra. And then he says, وَهَاُولَا هُمُ الشِّيعَ خُصُوصًا. He says, these people that believe in everything, these are the Ahl al-Shia. But he says something interesting. He says, وَوَافَقَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكَشْفِ. It says a group of scholars agree with them with regards to this actual identity. Now, the list of scholars that I brought to you, that some of them believe that he was just born. Others from that list believe he was born and he's the son of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. So we're not making the claim that everyone that believes that he's born, they attest to the fact that he's the son of Imam al-Askari. Just the simple fact that this idea of Imam al-Mahdi, the idea that he is born, the idea that he's in ghaiba, this is not something that's restricted.
It just shows that this concept of Mahdawiya is one of these underlying tenets of Islam. It's like a foundation of Islam, which regardless of which sect you're in, you're after it. You're looking for it. You're looking for answers about it, right?
Center.
So you see a hadith, you can't deny the fact that the Prophet has talked about 12 khalifs, and it's clear that the 12th one is the Mahdi. And you have so many different bits and pieces of the puzzle. And if you're an honest scholar, whether you're Shia, Sunni, or whatever sect you're in, because you see this coming from the Prophet, you go looking for it. And naturally, because of the premises we've established before, the beliefs we have before this coming into Al-Mahdi, will naturally influence the conclusion we come to, right?
Absolutely.
So some people, because they don't believe in Imamah as a whole,
mm-hmm.
might come to a different identification who the Mahdi is. But the point is that this is there in Islam. Like, it's not something that you can just overlook.
It's something that across the board is something that we have to accept, that the Holy Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said this, and we have to accept that this is something that is not just one or two riwayat or a hadith prophesizing something. This is something that is within the creed of a Muslim.
Yeah.
It's the theology of a Muslim,
yeah.
According to the Holy Messenger. Whatever, and inshallah we'll discuss this, whatever the Holy Prophet brings to you, you have to accept it.
Yeah.
Okay? Of course, on the condition that you have absolute certainty that this has come from the Messenger, which as you saw, many of the ulama they've of Ahl al-Sunnah
and have said and that it's from the again it's a Ghadir all over again, basically, that all across the board we agree that these statements have been made by the Prophet. Mm-hmm. It's about interpreting them, right? It's about saying, and again, we are happy to discuss this and show that our interpretation mm-hmm. is the one that makes most sense and is fitting with the Quran, with the Aql, with the Ahadith. Mm-hmm. We have our own system and we can show this and prove this,
basically. And just as a final point, I think before we move on to the riwayat of the Ahl al-Shia, let's say hypothetically, for example, we're faced with someone who just doesn't wish to accept the notion that this final Mahdi is actually the 12th of the Shia. Amazingly, in today, in 2022, we can come to an agreement that you and I are both waiting. Okay, maybe yours is a little bit sort of, you know, based on the fact that he hasn't yet been born, but we're both waiting. You a Sunni, me a Shia. We're both waiting for this man to come, that he's going to be from the same identity that we both believe in, that he's got the same objective and he's got the same ideology that Allah has instilled within him, that يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا وَقِسْطًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا, that he's going to be at the Kaaba, that everyone's going to give bay'ah to him, that he's going to be an imam appointed by Allah. At least based on these sort of like common grounds, we need to accept this idea and we need to work at least together.
Yeah.
If not,
and prepare the grounds for the Mahdi. Like we're it's a really beautiful point you just mentioned. All of us are waiting.
Yeah.
Whether you believe he's not born yet or you believe he's born in Ghaiba, all of us are waiting for him.
Correct. Yeah.
Amazing, beautiful. Sure. So let's take a quick break. If you want to move on to the next section where we talk about the hadith from our own hadith literature, I think we can take a short break over here. Get some refreshments and then be back in a few minutes and discuss the rest of the books and the hadiths that we have. So we'll be back in a moment, inshallah.
You're yeah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome back to our session where we were discussing the concept of Al-Mahdi in the Ahadith. So we were discussing with Sheikh Imran here what the Sunnis and the Ahl Sunnah believe in and narrate from the Prophet with regards to Imam Al-Mahdi. And we sort of finished that section saying that the notion of Al-Mahdi, not only that general notion that's in the Quran, but specifically that a person from the world, from the progeny of Prophet Muhammad through Sayyidah Fatima will be coming. He is that 12th person and he will be the one who will establish justice in the earth. And this is something that the Sunnis are unanimous on. And in fact, towards the end of the session, towards the end of the previous part, just before the break, Sheikh Imran also mentioned that there is a large group of scholars who also believe that the Mahdi was born and therefore right now he would be in Ghaibah. So this is again something very interesting that even amongst the Sunnis there is a large group of scholars who actually have this belief. So let's move on to the Shia traditions and see what the Shias have to say about this.
So what I want us to do is build a group of indicators for us that will build our certainty. Not just by using one or two ahadith with good chains, sound narrators, etc., that have been checked by the top scholars. Rather, we build a picture of very strong indicators so that we reach the stage of almost 100% certainty.
Hmm.
Okay. So, firstly, what I want to do is go step by step. So, a few riwayat that we should look at, which now starts to build that picture. The first one is the famous hadith. That is أن الأرض لا تخلو من حجة, which literally means that the earth will not be void of a حجة. Okay, now that حجة can be an imam, he can be a nabi or etc. whatever, but the fact of the matter is a حجة, i.e. إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة, a حجة from Allah عز وجل that is able to do the correlation of the laws of Allah, or for example, hifz, protection, or tatbiq, in amalgamating the laws of Allah and putting it into practice in our lives. Okay? This concept of the earth not being void without a hujjah, let me just try and explain to you how many of our earliest of scholars had this as a chapter in their book. So mm-hmm. Let me go through one by one.
So we're not just talking about a single narration. We're talking about actually a chapter that has many narrations under it.
Absolutely. We're talking about a collation of different riwayat with the same meaning under one title, mm-hmm. أَنَّ الْأَرْضُ لَا تَخْلُو مِنْ حُجَّةٍ. Okay?
Yeah.
So the first one is the famous one in Kitab al-Kafi by none other than Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al Kulayni, who passed away in 329 after Hijrah, which happened to be the same year as the Ghaybat al-Sughra coming to an end and the Ghaybat al-Kubra beginning. In his volume 1, page 178, he provides 13 different narrations. 13 different narrations. Now, here's an important point. Based on Ayatollah Shubayri al-Zanjani, who is by far and wide very much accepted and known amongst the mujtahideen, let alone the tulab of the Hawza. Amongst the mujtahideen, he is the go-to guy when it comes to mm-hmm. Rijal.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his works, Ayatollah Shubayri, from the 13 different riwayat, he said 10 of them are sahih, a sanad, mm-hmm. or at least the sanad has enough indicators there, enough circumstantial indicators there to provide him certainty to call it sahih. Okay.
Okay.
However, if someone was to be pedantic about things and say no, you know, even his chain of narrations is a bit lax, okay, this is Sahih al-Kafi
mm-hmm.
of none other than Sheikh Muhammad Baqir al-Behbudi, yep. who passed away pretty much the same time you and me came to Qom, about eight okay. years ago now. Okay? Okay. In his Sahih al-Kafi, which he's trimmed down all of the narrations based on a very strict methodology, on his Kitab of Hujjah, page number 24, let me just read it for you guys. So in here, Bab of أن الأرض لا تخلو من حجة, he says the first two narrations are correct and he accepts them and he says, yes, for me, this is acceptable And out of the 13, he accepts the first two.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's obvious why he's accepted the first two, because we've just got like the best of companions that are in there and they've narrated this, which is a testament to the fact that this hadith is correct.
Yeah. That's although we have discussed in previous sessions that we do not go by the just pure sanadi method. No. We have other ways to authenticate a hadith, and a true authentic hadith is not necessarily one that just has a authentic chain. We've already talked about the fact that other factors come and strengthen
a hadith. Yeah. Yeah. And so just in brackets here, with one of our teachers in hadith, we were doing a research study whereby we were looking at several ahadith that had really poor chains of narrators, yet the content of that hadith was matching other ahadith with correct chains of narrators. Mm. Okay, and our teachers always told us this is a must in terms of your research.
Mm.
Don't just look at a hadith with a good chain of narrations and separate yourself from all of the other ahadith that have the same content. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
There's one thing saying that Allah or the Holy Prophet or the Imams didn't say this. Sorry, there's one thing saying that they said it when they didn't. And that's called iftira ala Allah or ala Nabi. And there's another thing on the other side, doing takdeeb of that person as well. That the Prophet is said to have said this, but I'm saying no, he hasn't said that.
And on very blanket statements, like, you know, that's precisely also
wrong. And that's a very dangerous task to say. God forbid the Holy Prophet or one of the Imams did say something and you're saying no, it's a lie.
Mm.
That's even worse. Okay. Yeah. In the next book, Al-Imama wa-Tabsira min al-Hayra. Now, this isn't very commonly well known amongst the brothers and sisters, but this book is a golden piece of work. Who is it by? It was by none other than Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Babawi al-Qummi, which happens to be Shaykh al-Saduq's father. Now, Shaykh al-Saduq's father was a massive scholar in the city of Qum. Alhamdulillah, we're living here, and his grave is just opposite the grave of Sayyidah Fatima Ma'suma, salamullahi alayha. In his book, At-Tabsira, we call it Al-Imama wa-Tabsira, page 26, the second chapter of his book, it says here, contains 16 different riwayat with the same content as what Shaykh al-Kulayni has narrated.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is the second thing.
Again, we're still talking about those ahadiths that talk about there has to be a hujjah on the earth.
Correct. There has to be a hujjah on the earth. Okay. A third book, Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'ma, by his famous son, Shaykh al-Saduq, Shaykh al-Muhaddithin. In his book, it's interestingly, the name of the chapter he's used is very interesting. Let me read this to you, okay? The name of the chapter is the Bab of Ittisalul Wasiyya min Ladun Adama alayhi salam. وَأَنَّ الْأَرْضِ لَا تَخْلُو مِنْ حُجَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ all the way إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So he doesn't just say from the Prophet. He says, no, from Adam alayhi salam until the Day of Judgment, there has to be a hujjah on earth. Allahu Akbar. He brings 65 narrations. Are we claiming that every single one of these narrations in terms of the rijal of it is correct? No. But what can we start bringing an idea in our head? We've got 13 in Al-Kafi, 16 in Al-Tabsira, 65 in Kamaluddin wa Tamam al-Ni'mah. Does it stop there? No, it doesn't. In Kitab al-Ghaybah, we have here of none other than Shaykh al-Tusi, Shaykh al-Ta'ifa, as they say, Kitab al-Ghaybah, in this book here of Shaykh al-Tusi, he has the same content whereby I checked three of the ahadith with sound narration and sound chains of narrations. So, this concept is something that our ulama, and this is very important, is a key point for our brothers and sisters to note here. Just because something is in our hadith literature, does that mean we believe in it? No. Does that mean the same thing with the other brothers in the other schools of thought? No, it's not. It's a common misconception. But what's amazing is when you've got a plethora of a hadith like this, and our ulama accept it. And
so that's important, that those experts accept that these are ahadith that we can trust and we can take our beliefs from.
In spite of them being correct chains of narrators, the rijal of it is sound and perfect, it's possible that a scholar can still reject that. But they didn't, they accepted it. Now, let me bring you a hadith, an important hadith, that just opens this hadith up a little better. So we know that, okay, according to these narrations, we've reached sound judgment now that Allah does not place this earth without there being a hujjah on it.
Yeah.
Who's to say that that Hujjah would be Imam al-Mahdi now?
Mm.
Okay, we've had 11.
Yeah.
Who's to say that that's Imam Mahdi now? Or who's to say that needs to be an Imam?
Mm.
Maybe it doesn't need to be an Imam. Maybe it just needs to be a Hujjah. In Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'mah, and as the brothers and sisters know, Shaykh al-Saduq spent his whole life writing books of ahadith. One of the main books that Shaykh al-Saduq wrote, and one of the main books that Shaykh al-Tusi wrote, was a reply to those people at that time, in the 4th century and the 5th century for Shaykh al-Tusi, to rebuttal and provide evidence, according to our school of thought, as to the fact that the Imam is existing, he was born, and he's now in Ghaybah.
Mm.
One of the main books that we use is Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'mah. In his second volume, page 667, he narrates a hadith here, and this is very important that it might get a bit technical here, but we focus on the people who is narrating this hadith, because this hadith opens, as we say, Pandora's box for us. Okay, I'm going to go one by one. He says, حدثني وحدثنا أبي رضي الله عنه. So he means Shaykh al-Saduq's father. And Shaykh al-Saduq's father narrates from Sa'ad ibn Abdullah al-Qummi, who narrates from Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa, who narrates from his father, who narrates from Ibn Abi Umayr, who narrates from Umar ibn Uthayna, who narrates from Burayr ibn Muawiyah al-Ajli, or Ajli, I should say. He says, قلت لأبي جعفر عليه السلام, Imam al-Baqir, what, tell me, ya Imam, what is the meaning of this verse of the Quran? Tell me what your interpretation is. What did he mean by that? He said the verse, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ, that for every, you are only a warner, and for every nation there is a guide.
Yep.
What do you mean by that? In this hadith, the Imam replies, he says, فَقَالَ الْمُنْذِرُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ. The Munzir, the warner, is Rasulullah. In this verse it means him. وَعَلِيٌ الْهَادِي, and Ali is the Hadi, he is the guide of that time. وَفِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ, and for every single moment. وَزَمَانٍ, and every single era. إِمَامٌ مِنَّا, there is an Imam from us. What do they do? يَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ. What's their CV? What's their plan of action? What's their objective at that time? That they guide them to that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has brought for them. You could say, wow, okay, that's very clear then, that in every single moment of time, there has to be an Imam. The previous hadith told us, the earth can't be without a Hujjah. Therefore, right now, after Imam Hassan al-Askari, there has to be an Imam and a Hujjah at the same time, i.e. that 12th Imam, or that person that we are saying that is the son of Imam al-Hassan al-Askari, has to be the Hujjah and an Imam at the same time. So we've got a hadith here from Shaykh al-Saduq with two main ingredients. One, an impeccable chain that not a single person in the science of Rijal can take any problem with. One. Two, we've got a very clear hadith pertaining to the idea that not only is there always a Hujjah on earth, but that Hujjah is now the imam.
It's very interesting, because by showing that this is a khabar wahid technically, right? It's correct. A one narration, and its chain is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just look at it in itself, it might not bring certainty in a person, right? But when we put it next to all the other hadith about there being a Hujjah in the earth, and there has to be a Hujjah in the earth, and the multitude of hadith in that side, when you put all of these together, you see that the content is matching completely, and it sort of leads to a certain amount, to actually a good amount of certainty that, you know, okay, these are talking about the same thing.
We're now connecting the dots, basically, it's forming a picture. Okay. The next criteria, or the next context, I should say, that builds our certainty is a group of riwayat where it talks about who these Ithna Ashar people were. Now, we spoke about it with Sheikh Miqdad before, about the hadith, the tawatur hadith of Ithna Ashar, the 12 khalifs or the 12 emirs or the 12 imams after Rasulullah. In Shaykh al-Saduq's Amali, and in his book Uyun Akhbar al-Rida, and in Kamaluddin wa Tamam al-Ni'mah again, he repeats this hadith with the same chain in all three of his books. So I'm just going to read it out to you once. And again, I can sit here, narrator after narrator, quoting Rijalun Najashi or Shaykh al-Tusi's Rijali works, but for the presence of, for the issue of time, I'm going to say to you that I've checked this narration, and Bismillah, if you guys want to have a look at it, then no problem at all. And inshallah, we'll get to a higher sort of state of certainty. Yeah. This is narrated from, so I'm going to read the chain. It says, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Muhammad rahimahullah, حدثنا أبي عن محمد ابن ابن جبار عن أبي أحمد ابن محمد ابن زياد أي محمد ابن أبي عمير. This is from Aban ibn Uthman, from Thabit ibn Dinar, which is Abu Hamza al-Thumali, the famous companion of Imam al-Sajjad, and Sayyid al-Abidin. Okay, and there's a reason why I've narrated the whole chain here. I want you to look carefully at what the chain is saying. Okay, it says here that Sayyid al-Abidin al-Sajjad alayhi salam is saying now. Technically speaking, Imam al-Sajjad, he's an imam. So whatever he's about to say is a hujjah for us. Okay? Especially if the chain is authentic. But Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam doesn't stop there. He goes on to narrate his forefathers for a particular reason. He's giving extra importance to this hadith, what's coming up. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, I'm narrating from my father now, Imam al-Husayn, who narrates from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Sayyid al-Awsiya, who narrates from Rasulullah. What did Rasulullah say? He says, Al-A'immatu min ba'di ithna ashar. Fantastic. We've got that. Sunni narrations have narrated it as well. We've got it plenty. After me, there's going to be 12 imams. Interestingly here, it says something else though. Awwaluhum anta ya Ali. The first of those 12 is you, ya Ali. And now he's pinpointing who the rest is. Wa akhiruhum al-qa'im. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu al-sharif. The one, the last one, the final one is al-qa'im. Alladhi yaftahu Allahu ta'ala dhikruhu ala yadihi mashariq al-ardi wa magharibiha. That this last of the 12 is the one that Allah, by means of him, will open up the east and the west on his hand, i.e. by his leadership. Here the Holy Prophet now, again in an impeccable chain, is now pinpointing for us who this first and the last one is. Okay, it's just one chain. It's just one hadith and one chain. Is there any
but
more?
But again, it's getting all together. And the interesting thing, another point about Imam Zulabdin quoting it from the Prophet, is to say that look, this existed from there
that time.
Yeah, it's not something new. Yeah. Like this concept was there at the time of the Prophet.
And in brackets, one could say that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam definitely said ithna ashar at that time, according to Sunni narrations.
Yeah.
And then we hear a lot of the time something was left out, and then this was. Yeah. It's almost like how we're going to be editing some of these videos, for example. It's going to be cut out, and then how should I say it? It just so happens that these bits may have been left out. It seemed like that anyway. Okay? That was one narration. Are there any other narrations as well? Shaykh al-Saduq in his Amali narrates in a different chain now, but the same concept, same content again. What does he say? قُلْتُ So he says, Amir al-Mu'mineen said to Rasulullah, أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَدَدِ الْأَئِمَّةَ بَعْدَكَ Tell me about the number of imams after you, Ya Rasulullah. So he says, Ya Ali, Hum ithna ashar. They are 12. Awwaluhum anta wa akhiruhum al-qa'im. Interestingly, this narration is again an impeccable chain. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam narrates from Imam al-Baqir. Imam al-Baqir narrates from Imam al-Sajjad. Imam al-Sajjad from Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen from the Holy Prophet again. So they've consistently kept this chain going for the extra importance as to what is actually going on. Now, let's just see, is there anything else that can help us now solidify and say, right, definitely the Holy Prophet has now pinpointed that the final one of these 12 is actually going to be the final Imam or the Imam awaited for us. In Al-Kafi, we have a narration whereby the chain of narrations is, according to, for example, people like Ayatollah Zanjani or for people like Ayatollah Behbudi, they wouldn't accept this chain of narrations that's coming up here. Why is that the case? That's the case because one particular person in this chain is not known. Not that he's a liar, not that he's known to be like someone forging a hadith. No, his name has come, but we just don't know anything about him.
Yeah. And we said with Sheikh Baqir that sometimes these people are not known because the system of transmission of hadith was such that sometimes it was usually, or many times it was a book being transmitted. So it didn't matter who that middle person was, correct, as long as the book that is being transmitted is intact, the signature of the, or the sign of the teacher having approved of it is there. So it's sort of like those middle people didn't matter so much, and the scholars were aware of this. So
precisely,
a person being majhul isn't necessarily an indicator of a fabrication of a hadith. Although from a stricter rijali perspective, we can call this a weak hadith.
Yeah.
But in terms of authenticating that meaning of real authentication, again, this doesn't have really any meaning, basically. Yeah.
So this is now our fifth narration on the same content. We've had four, this is the fifth one. Listen carefully to what the content is, because we'll need this for the next one, which will be like an amalgamation of giving us certainty. It says in a long chain of narrations, okay, that Al-Asbagh ibn Nubata, so it ends with the same person. Al-Asbagh was a famous companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and at the time of, I think it was Nahrawan or Jamal, one of the two, Asbagh came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and he said, I've got my tribe. He was a young guy at the time. He said, I've got my tribe. I will fight for you, but on one condition. SubhanAllah, what was that condition? He said, I will fight for you and I won't leave you, but you guarantee me one thing. He said, what? He said, you guarantee me Jannah. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I guarantee you I will enter you into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And this is Asbagh bin Nubata, and he was loyal to his fighting and his sticking by Amir al-Mu'mineen in the times of need. Asbagh narrates, I came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and I saw him in deep thought, and he was, it says here, mutafakkiran yankutu fil ard. He was digging the ground. So I said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ma li arak mutafakkiran tankutu fil ard. What's wrong with you? Why are you in this state? Arag, he says here, araghbatan minka fiha. Are you finding affiliation with this place, this earth, this area, this land? Is it something? Amir al-Mu'mineen says, فَقَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا رَغِبْتُ فِيهَا وَلَا فِي الدُّنْيَا يَوْمًا قَطُّ. I've got no affiliation with this place at all. Rather, I'm thinking about something. What does he say? وَلَكِنِّي فَكَّرْتُ فِي مَوْلُودٍ. I'm thinking about that one who's going to be born. Who? He says, مَوْلُودٍ يَكُونُ مِنْ ظَهْرِي. He's going to be from my loins. الْحَادِي عَشَرَ مِنْ وُلْدِي. The 11th from my loins, from my progeny, huwa al-Mahdi. He is al-Mahdi. Who? Alladhi yamla'u al-arda 'adlan wa qista kama muli'at dhulman kama muli'at jawran wa dhulma. Same thing that the Holy Prophet said. He adds something to this here. He says, takunu lahu ghaibatun. For him there will be a ghaiba, there will be a period of occultation, wa hayratun, and a time of deep examination. Will be a very difficult time. People will be lost for what to do. يَضِلُّ فِيهَا أَقْوَامٌ. Many groups of people will be misguided in that time. وَيَهْتَدِي فِيهَا آخَرُونَ. And another group of people will
be guided.
Guided by that. Okay. فَقُلْتُ, this Asbagh says, يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَكَمْ تَكُونُ الْحَيْرَةُ وَالْغَيْبَةُ. He says to him, how long will this ghaiba be? So the Imam says, either 6 days, or 6 months, or 6 years, etc., etc. And the hadith continues, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how Allah will do whatever He pleases, and that it's up to Allah's mashia with regards to how long it will be. Okay. Someone could say, hang on a second, look, you've had four good chains. This one was a dodgy one, okay? Because we didn't know about that one person in the middle. I say, okay, let's bring a sixth one now, but something that will, as they say, this is the the cherry on the icing, okay? In Al-Imama wa Tabsira min Al-Hayra of Ibn Qulaway, so the father of Shaykh As-Saduq, he brings a chain that I don't really know what to say. He says here, and I want you to count with me, Sa'ad ibn Abdullah, which we've already spoken about, Al-Himyari, which is the person who narrated the famous book Qurb al-Isnad, which we still have today, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Attar, third one, who's the teacher of Shaykh al-Kulayni, and Ahmad ibn Idris, who's also another teacher of Shaykh al-Kulayni. He says these four people, and then he uses the word jami'an, all together, they narrate from another group of people. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn Abi al-Khattab. Not to be mistaken with that Abi al-Khattab, the one who was narrating false ahadith. That was someone else. This is Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Abi al-Khattab. Number one. Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa, which we discussed, who is the Sheikh of Qummiyun. Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Barqi, which is who the same Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa brought back to Qum. Wa Ibrahim ibn Hashim. This is the father of the famous Ali ibn Ibrahim, who is found in Al-Kafi all over the place.
Yeah.
He says another word, he says jami'an. You know what, when I discussed this with one of our teachers and one of the other brothers, who Sheikh Baqir, that was here as well, we had a discussion. When he says these four jami'an are narrating from these four jami'an, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that one of these guys is narrating from one of these guys? Or is it that all four are narrating from all four, which means the permutation would be how many? 16 different methodologies, 16 different tariq, we call it, 16 different pathways. And it was confirmed that four are narrating from four, creating 16 pathways. After that, the chain continues and it says that these all narrate from Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Faddal, who is known to be from amongst the thiqatul amma, which a group of people are considered to be completely thiqa. For example, Sayyid al-Khu'i knows these people, this whole family, to be thiqa. And he narrates from Fa'laba ibn Maymun, and it carries on. An Malik al-Juhanni. And it carries on until it reaches Al-Harith ibn Mughira al-Nasri and Asbagh ibn Nubata. And guess what? This impeccable chain is exactly the same content that Shaykh al-Kulayni narrates with the previous one that I said there was someone missed out. Entirely exactly the same. With the same words that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was busy in the earth and he was thinking about the 12th Imam. What does this mean for us? Mm-hmm. This means we've got, out of six narrations, we've got five perfect chains, the fifth one being amazing. Sixth one, there was someone missing. This gives us a very strong level of certainty that these were definitely the words of the Imam or the Holy Prophet, and that they've identified now who the 12th one is, that he's going to be from our world. He's going to be 11th from Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Exactly. That's really important, because it's not only here's the 12th one. So somebody might say, okay, the 12th one came after a long time.
Yes.
Right? The 11th one came, then there was a big time gap. Nothing happened there. There was nothing. And then he came later after many centuries. But no, here we have Amir al-Mu'mineen saying, no, he is actually the 11th.
Precisely.
There's no gap in terms of
lineage. It's a consecutive chain of imams. Yeah.
And therefore, for him to have been alive at that time, and for him to do a qiyam and bring justice to the earth, and that still hasn't happened, that means there is a time where he's alive.
And it's extended.
And it's extended, yeah.
And even Amir al-Mu'mineen is alluding to the fact that there's going to be a ghaibah, and that ghaibah is going to be a problematic time for many, and for other people, that they will find salvation.
And inshallah, we'll talk about the hikmah, why Imam had to go into ghaibah, and so on, inshallah, in the next sessions. Yeah.
Interestingly, as I mentioned before, just because these are ahadith with strong sound chains and they're clear, like, you know, the content is clear for us, does that mean our ulama believed in this stuff? Well, Sheikh al-Saduq narrates four different times, as we mentioned.
And we also said that Amali is those sessions where he really says the stuff he believes in, right?
So it was his lessons, it was like the Bath of Kharij of today, okay? Interestingly, Shaykh al-Mufid in his Ikhtisas, page 209, narrates the same hadith, this one about Amir al-Mu'mineen saying about the Imam. And Ghaiba al-Tusi, we have the book here, on page 336, he narrates the same hadith as well. So we've got all of our mutaqaddimeen having an ijma' of giving
importance to this
and saying that this hadith is from the Imam.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought it in their books. All of them have narrated it with the same way. Okay. The next hadith is an important one. Okay. This is the entitled Athani Ashar Minna. Now, what's important about this is it also alludes to the understanding of Hadith al-Thaqalain as well. Okay? Shaykh al-Saduq, in his Ma'ani al-Akhbar, narrates again. I'm not going to go through the chains now. I hope that, you know, it's accepted that the chains are formidable chains and people can go and check this. He narrates in his Ma'ani al-Akhbar, again, from Imam al-Sadiq, from Imam al-Baqir, from Imam al-Sajjad, from Imam Hussein, from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. It says, Su'ila Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen was asked, what is the meaning of Rasulullah's words when he says, Inni mukhallifun fikum al-thaqalain? As you know, we have sub narrations where it says, Inni tarakum fikum al-thaqalain, Inni mukhallifun fikum al-thaqalain. Amir al-Mu'mineen was asked, what does it mean? I'm leaving behind two weighty things. Kitab Allah wa itrati min al-itra. The Imam responds, he says, أنا والحسن والحسين والأئمة تسعة من ولد الحسين. He says, me, Hassan, Hussein, and the أئمة, that are the nine Imams that are from the loins of Imam al-Hussein, the ninth of those, تاسعهم مهديهم. Does it get any clearer than that? You need to do just a simple basic mental arithmetic. The ninth from Imam al-Hussein will be the Mahdi. The ninth from Imam al-Hussein, آخرهم, will be the last of the 12, Imams. قائمهم, he is the one that will rise. He is the one that will establish this justice. لا يفارقون كتاب الله ولا يفارقهم حتى يردوا على الله حتى يردوا على رسول الله حوضة. These two things, these entities, the 12 Imams and the Quran, will not separate until they meet me at the pool of Kawthar. This is narrated again in Kamal of Deen wa Tamam al Ni'mah, exactly the same narration again. We're building a picture now. We're building a picture to see, right, what is actually going on. There are another set of riwayat now, and just for the sake of time, whereby Imams through the time now start saying to their companions, for example, Imam al-Baqir will say, he's of the number, for example, he's the seventh one from me. Then Imam al-Sadiq will say, he's the sixth one from me. Then Imam al-Kadhim will say, he's the fifth one from me. And Imam al-Ridha will say, he's the fourth one. Imam al-Jawad will say, he's the third. Let me just read a few of these riwayat for you, so that you get a gist as to what's actually going on here. So we have in different books of our ahadith, whereby, for example, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he says, هُوَ الثَّانِيَ عَشَرَ مِنَّا, he's the 12th from us, يُسَهِّلُ اللَّهُ لَهُ كُلَّ عَصِيرٍ, that he's the 12th from us and Allah will make easy his affair. Then Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, in another narration, ذَاكَ الرَّابِعْ مِنْ وِلْدِي, he's the fourth from my loins. So that would be Imam al-Hujjah again. Or for example, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he says, Minna ithna ashara mahdiyan, there will be 12, ithna. Awwaluhum Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, wa akhiruhum at-tasi' min wuldi. And Imam is the first one, and the ninth from my loins will be the Imam. Wa huwa al-qa'im bil-haq, and he's the one who will stand with justice. Another narration, for example, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam here, he says here that Ya Abu al-Qasim, Imam Jawad is talking to Abdul Azim al-Hasani, Inna al-Qa'ima minna huwa al-Mahdi alladhi yajibu an yuntadharu fi ghaybatih. He says, O Abu al-Qasim, certainly the Qa'im is from us. Again, he's making it such a solid link now to what we've already discussed. Yeah, yeah. Huwa al-Mahdi, he's the one. Wa huwa thalithu min wuldi. Now Imam Jawad alayhi salam is saying he's the third from my loins. I mean, it doesn't get much clearer than this than who we are going to be speaking about. Yeah. Okay? And there's different narrations as well from Imam Hassan al-Askari now. So let's go. Perhaps, therefore, that it reaches Imam al-Askari. Did Imam al-Askari make it clear for us now? Now, here I have to put in brackets. According to the Rijali mindset, many of these narrations would have problems. One of the people that was doing a research into this was actually finding out that why is it that so many of the people in this chain of narrations are unknown. So I have to put this in a disclaimer out here. These chains of narrators, the narrators in this chain, were not known to be liars, were not known to be like people that were outside the fold. Most of them were unknown, and therefore this sanad has come out to be weak. Why were they unknown? We're living in a time where they've just slaughtered so many of our imam alayhi wasalam. And according to the Sunni riwayat, they knew that what was about to come was going to be the next imam. He would be the qa'im of Ali Muhammad. What did they need to do?
And the qiyams have been going on for a long time, and they know what happens when the qiyam comes. People gather, and that's a threat to the hukuma,
precisely,
to the government. So the threat of a qa'im that has been prophesied by the Holy Prophet himself, mm-hmm, this is a big threat. And I guess they were sort of on the watch of, you know,
precisely,
where is he, who is he going to be, and so on.
And the Abbasids were the great politicians, right? Yeah. And as we say in today's day and age, the best form of defense is attack, right? So let's go and finish this this situation off once and for all. Many of the narrators were unknown because of the situation at that time, the circumstance at that time. Nonetheless, let's read what Imam Askari alayhi salam has to say, because it's only going to help. We've got it now.
We've got third it. We've got enough. Jawad. So basically, one of the methods of authenticating hadith, mm-hmm, other than the sanad way, mm-hmm, is to see that we have a hadith that have a content and they have sahih sanad, right?
Correct.
So they are, in terms of sanad, they are also authentic. And then we find other hadith that have a chain of narration that isn't so strong, mm-hmm, but the content is directly matching this.
Precisely.
And therefore, this showing that the source is the same.
Correct, yeah. So what Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, one of his companions comes to him and he sees Imam Hassan al-Askari, and next to him a young boy sitting there. He says, وَرَأَى غُلَامًا جَالِسًا فِي جَنْبِهِ. He says he saw a young child sitting next to him. فَقُلْتُ لِأَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ. He says to Imam al-Askari, يَا سَيِّدِي جَعَلَنِي اللَّهُ فِدَاكَ. Oh my master, may my life be sacrificed to you. Who's this child? Who's this son? Who's this boy? So the Imam says, Huwa ibni, he is my son. Wa khalifati min ba'di, and he's my khalifa after me. Wa huwa alladhi yaghibu ghaibatan tawila. Allahu Akbar. He is the one that will go into ghaiba, a long ghaiba. Wa yadhharu ba'da imtila'i al-ard jawran wa zulman fayamla'uha adlan wa qista. Allahu Akbar. This is the one that will fill the earth with justice and, it says, adlan wa qista, the same way it has been filled with oppression and injustice. Exactly in tandem with what? All of the narrations of the Holy Prophet in Ahlul Sunnah and in, yeah, our books and with the Imam alayhi salam.
Yeah.
Okay. So I asked him, so the Rawi says, فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ إِسْمِهِ. I asked him his name. And he says, Huwa Sammiyu Rasulillah wa kunniyuhu. Same name and same kunya as Rasulullah, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and Abu al-Qasim. Okay, amazing. We have so many riwayat like this from Imam al-Askari. Let me read one more so everyone gets the gist of what's going on. He says, this one's even in more in tandem with what we've said before in this series here. Listen carefully to what he says. The Rawi says, Yabna Rasulillah, who is the Hujjah after you? He says, فَمَنِ الْإِمَامِ وَالْحُجَّةَ بَعْدَكَ. So the Imam says to him, Ibni Muhammad, my son Muhammad, he's the Imam. هُوَ الْإِمَامُ وَالْحُجَّةُ بَعْدِي. He is the Imam and the Hujjah after me. Amazing. مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفُ مَاتَ مِيتَةٍ جَاهِلِيَّةٍ. Whoever dies without recognizing the Imam of his time, he has died the death, or sorry, whoever dies and has not recognized him has died the death of a jahil. أَمَا أَنَّ لَهُ غَيْبَةً يُحَارُ فِيهَا الْجَاهِلُونَ. Again, he's alluding to the ghaiba. He's saying, may it be known that for him there is a ghaiba. And there will be a big issue when it happens. Those people that are jahil, they'll be misled. وَيَهْلَكُ فِيهَا الْمُبْطِلُونَ. And those people who insist on this issue or this idea, this concept of ghaiba being false, they will perish in this moment in time. وَيَكْذِبُ فِيهَا الْوَقَّاتُونَ. And also another group of people that will say, by the way, the Imam's coming in next week, he's coming next month, he's coming this year, or I've looked at, I don't know, Barnabas's, I don't know, whatever, books, and I'm assuming that the ghaiba is going to be coming now. No, he says these people are kadhab. The only person that knows that is Allah Azza wa Jal and no one else. I can keep going with different narrations, but I think because we're pushed for time, I think that suffices for in terms of isolating and identifying who the Imam is according to the Imam.
So it's really beautiful how the Quran has given us a picture that there is a savior that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is a concept that's been there throughout history, all the religions. Then when we come into the hadith, we find that the Holy Prophet has also talked about 12 khalif that will come after him.
Yeah.
And that is pretty clear. There's again an underlying tenet of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you zoom in a bit more into this, we find that there's this, the Prophet has also, and the Imams have also talked about that savior who will come then, and he is the 12th of these.
Precisely.
So then the question comes, then okay, maybe he's born later. There's a gap. But then the Imams come in and also clarify that. They say, no, there's no gap.
There's
a he's straight after the 11th. He's the 12th one from these 12.
Mm.
Okay? But he's also that savior that will come later. That means there's something happening between. And there's this ghaibah period. There's this period where the life of this 12th Imam is prolonged, is made long. It's really beautiful. It's really amazing. And then the hadith of Hujjah come and strengthen this and say that there has to be Hujjah on the earth. That Hujjah, as you said, is somebody who's appointed by Allah. He's protecting the religion, you know. And later we'll also see the role of the Hujjah during Ghaibah, right? What's the point of having a Hujjah if he's in Ghaibah? Inshallah, we'll discuss that, I think, with Sheikh Ali in a few sessions. And so this whole concept of Hujjah again solidifies it. So we have so many different indications and narrations and explicit mentioning of this concept. And this is like an essential aspect of Islam as taught to us by the Quran, by the Holy Prophet, and the successors of the Holy Prophet. Really solid. And so now what remains is for now to understand what is this ghaibah all about. Why is there ghaibah? What is this ghaibah? How does this match with the whole wisdom of Imam and having a guide? And then in the third section, inshallah, really important, talking about our responsibilities in the ghaibah. What are we supposed to do now that the Imam is in the ghaibah? But apart from being an intellectual discussion, personally, I feel this really touches the heart.
Yeah.
That now we've established from the words of the Imams themselves that right now, today, right now, as we're talking, there's an Imam that's living. Right? And this is beautiful. This is really amazing. A hujjah of Allah on the earth.
And perhaps you'll get into the philosophy of the ghaibah. I'm sure you will afterwards. And for example, his role in spite of us not seeing him, etc. Inshallah. So this concept of ghaibah then, I mean, we've seen it a lot. But I want the brothers and sisters to listen to this narration. This narration is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Very clear. Okay, and it's with, again, I picked only those things with a good chain, but just hear this out and let this sort of sit inside. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, from a very strong chain of Ali ibn Ibrahim, from his father, from Ibn Abi Umair again, from Ibn Ayyub al-Khazzaz, from Muhammad ibn Muslim. These are all, I mean, no one's going to challenge anything on this. Muhammad ibn Muslim hears from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said this following statement. And this is very difficult, you know, to see if people are going to be doing this after all of these evidences. He says, إِن بَلَغَكُمْ عَن صَاحِبِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ خَيْبَةٌ. If it reaches you, if you are in that time, if you're in a predicament whereby the ghaibah comes about, by you and me, anyone else watching this, فَلَا تُنْكِرُوهَا. The Imam says, do not deny that. That ghaibah is something haqiqatan, in reality, it is correct, it is absolutely true.
And I guess the Imams know and realize the fact that when there's such a big time, a gap, it sounds like maybe none of this is true, right?
So the Imam's coming to reassure us.
Yeah.
Okay, from one angle, don't deny this. This is an amr from Allah. I didn't bring the book with me. I remember Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, and he's got a special book called Al-Mahdi. In there, he brought about various ayat of the Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done strange things in terms of changing nature and the way the cause and effect works in this dunya. And inshallah, the viewers can refer back to his book. If I'm not mistaken, it has been translated into English as well. But there he narrates about four or five different instances just based on how Allah has changed. One of them, for example, is where he says, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salama ala Ibrahim, where he's changing the cause and effect of how things work on the earth. And he links that to Imam al-Mahdi. And he says that, you know, these four or five things, you shouldn't be surprised. For example, Nuh alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi salam, Udayr alayhi salam, and all these other instances whereby it's very much in tandem with this idea of ghaybah.
I think there is no there's no need to discuss the possibility of a person's life being so long, because it's there in the Quran. I mean, Prophet Nuh was 950 years just for his tabligh.
Isa alayhi salam is still older than Imam al-Mahdi right now. There's not a single Muslim that denies that Isa alayhi salam is not still alive, right? And I think it's 2022 right now, so it must be around about 2000 years older, or just over that.
So basically the concept of the possibility of this to happen, I think is quite clear, and I don't think we need to discuss that yet.
And in fact, look, this is another narration whereby, again, Imam al-Ridha Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is narrating from all of the previous imams, and he says that Rasulullah says, and he swears by Allah, Allahu Akbar, he says, Walladhi, I swear by the one, Ba'athani bilhaqi bashiran, that I swear by the one that has raised me and sent me forward with truth and as a warner, glad tiding, a warner of good tidings. And this is very interesting for those people who know Arabic, listen carefully. لَيْغِيبَنَّ الْقَائِمُ مِنْ وُلِّي, that definitely I swear, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, I swear, لَيَغِيبَنَّ, with an extra shadda there. Definitely, my qa'im will undergo a period of ghaiba. It will happen. The Rasul is talking about it. That's why in the other Sunni narrations he said, if Allah will extend, even if Allah will extend that one final day. And that will be from me, حَتَّى يَقُولَ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ مَا لِلَّهِ فِي آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ حَاجَةٍ, until the people will start doubting and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't, there's no good news when it comes to Ali Muhammad, there's nothing. وَيَشُكُّ آخَرُونَ فِي وِلَادَتِهِ, and other people will doubt in his wilada. فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ زَمَانَهُ فَلْيَتَمَسَّكْ بِدِينِهِ. Wow, why does he say dinihi? He says, if someone doubts in the wilada and the ghaybah, فَلْيَتَمَسَّكْ بِدِينِهِ, i.e. part of the deen is this idea of ghaybah. Yeah. Part of this deen is the
don't
idea
let
that
go
is,
of your deen, basically.
Yeah. وَلَا يَجْعَلْ لِلشَّيْطَانِ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Don't allow shaytan to come in and start playing. You know,
this is really warning us that in every time we will find these kind of people. So we shouldn't feel scared, or we shouldn't be confused when we find people today who might deny it, right? Because the Prophet has said there will be people during the time of ghaybah who will deny the essence of it, the birth of him, you know, and this is common. So having people in today's world denying this is nothing new, basically. Ahsan. The Prophet has already told us about this.
I can keep going on and on and on about different ahadith. I mean, we have a book called Kitabul Ghaiba of Shaykh al-Tusi. We've got Al-Ghaibatul Nu'mani of Shaykh al-Nu'mani. We've got a whole bab called An-Nadir fil Ghaiba from Shaykh al-Kulayni. We've got another bab, Al-Ghaibatul Imam in Shaykh al-Kulayni. Okay? We've got like ahadith upon ahadith about this. Question, coming back to our normal thing, just because something is in our ahadith, does that mean we accept it? Let's have a look at what the Qudama at the time, for example, Shaykh al-Kulayni, Shaykh al-Mufid, Shaykh al-Saduq, Shaykh al- At-Tusi, what did they say about this ghaiba? And then we can draw
the fact that they've compiled books on the topic. I mean, it's pretty clear that they believed in it. Yeah, it
says what's written on the book, basically, right? Yeah. But let me just read a few sentences. For example, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Nu'mani, the famous sahib al-ghaiba. What does he say? He says that الأحاديث التي يذكر فيها أن للقائم آل محمد عليه السلام غيبتين أحاديث قد صحت عندنا بحمد الله. He says those riwayat regarding the Qa'im of Ali Muhammad, that he will have two ghaiba, al-sughra wal-kubra, and in riwayat we've got, subhanAllah, many ahadith that says first he'll be a ghaiba to sughra, then a ghaiba to al-kubra. He says all of these riwayat صحت عندنا بحمد الله. Ghaibat al-Nu'mani says this is for us. وَوَاضَحَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الْأَئِمَّةِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear that the speech or the words of the A'imma alayhi salam are true. So he attests that. Okay. Anyone else? Shaykh al-Saduq. Let's see what he says. Shaykh al-Saduq, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, وَأَنَّهُ قَدْ غَابَ كَمَا جَاءَتَ الْأَخْبَارِ فِي الْغَيْبَةِ. He says, and seriously, it's happened. The Imam has gone into ghaybah exactly the way our narrations have told us that it would happen. جاءت مشهورة متواترة كانت الشيعة تتوقعها. He says, these are in his opinion, mutawatirah. And seriously,
we've seen it. We've seen all these different narrations that do talk about.
And remember, what is mutawatirah again? We'll come to that at the end of the discussion. But it's something that can't be denied in terms of a common group of people. So Shaykh al-Saduq continues and he says, وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ تَوْفِيقًا وَصَبْرًا جَمِيلًا بِرَحْمَتِهِ. This is a line that we need to adopt in our lives today. Shaykh al-Saduq, bima huwa Shaykh al-Saduq, who knows what Shaykh al-Saduq is? He's asking Allah, give me sabr, jameelan, and give me that tawfiq in his absence. What does Shaykh al-Mufid say very quickly? He says, وَكَانَ الْخَبَرُ بِغَيْبَتِهِ ثابتاً قبل وجوده وبدولته مستفيداً. He says, before even the ghaiba, and before even his existence, his ghaiba, it was already established, and what would happen afterwards with him setting up a type of government, etc. وَغَيْبَتُهُ هُوَ صَاحِبُ السَّيْفِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةُ الْهُدَىٰ والقائم بالحق المنتظر لدولة الإيمان, etc., etc., etc. And so, not just that we have authentic narrations, not that they're just in plentiful. This was the sunnah of our ulama of old. How about today then? We come to today, and let me refer to this book here. This book is called Mashra'atu Bihar al-Anwar. And this is by none other than Ayatollah Sheikh Muhammad Asif Muhsini.
Okay. What's very special about him?
So this Asif Muhsini, rahmatullahi alayh, is a scholar from Afghanistan who passed away just recently, in the last 10 years or so. I can't remember exactly when. He's written a four-volume work on the 110 volumes of Bihar al-Anwar.
Okay.
Bihar al-Anwar, of course, is an amalgamation. It's what we call Da'iratul Ma'arif of Tashayyu. So, Allama Majlisi has basically collated lots of different narrations on various topics, and he's categorized them.
Yeah.
Not always was the chain of narrations very strong, okay? Although the content, according to Allama Majlisi, was correct.
Yeah.
Ayatollah Asif Muhsini came and he looked at all of the narrations in Bihar al-Anwar and he said, no, I'm going to rectify the issues with regarding the chain of narrations.
Basically, he was looking at it purely from Rijali
perspective. Okay. Now, Ayatollah Asif Muhsini, interestingly, in a few different places, comes up and summarizes what he believes to be correct from Bihar al-Anwar. In his Mashra'ah, and this is volume number 2, page number 92 and 93, he says the following. He says, وَهَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ بَعْضِ الْأُمُورِ. He's quoting from the bab of the fact that the nusus, the text on that Amir al-Mu'mineen was the first imam, and the other 11 were the 11 other imams. He says, these riwayat that Allama Majlisi has brought, let me give you a summary as to what it alludes to and what the output of this is and what he believes to be the correct understanding from these narrations of Allama Majlisi. He says the following. Number one, أن الأئمة عليهم السلام مطهرون, that they are purified. No. Asif Muhsini says, معصومون. كما في جملة كثيرة من روايات الباب وفي جملة من روايات أن علي مع القرآن أو مع الحق والقرآن والحق معه. He says, they're مطهرون, معصومون. Just in the same way that all the riwayat that are saying that Ali is with Haq and Ali is with the Quran or vice versa. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Second thing, he says, روايات كثيرة موجبة للإطمئنان بحسن تولي الأئمة وذم بوضهم. He says, the second thing I can say is, according to these riwayat, the beauty and the good essence in nature of doing tawalli to them, having wilaya of them, and the detriment or the damnation of having hatred towards them. Second thing. Third thing. Interesting. أَنَّ الْمَهْدِيَّ الْقَائِمَةِ مِنْ وُلْدِ الْحُسَيْنِ, that the Imam al-Mahdi is from Imam Hussein's loins. وَسَيُظْهِرُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ كَمَا تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ رِوَايَاتِ جَمَّةِ. It says that the Imam will be from Imam al-Hussein and that he will come and he will do dhuhur at the end of time. The same way that lots, jamma means loads of riwayat to dalala on this. They show us this. And he gives different narrations that, for example, tasi'uhum qa'imuhum, the ones that we've been reading.
The ninth is the qa'im.
Zahiruhum qa'imuhum wa afdaluhum, in some narrations that he's the best of the a'imma alayhimus salam, etc., etc. Four. The riwayat, tadullu riwayat kathirata ala jumla min sifati ukhra lahum wa ala ta'zimim wa tamassuku bihim. That you have to follow their pathway, you have to follow their status, because they're in a, they have been described in a great way. And then he says, he says that these are specifically to 12 imams only. So, according to this bab of Allama Majlisi, he says what? That the imam is the ninth, he will rise, etc., etc., etc. Fast forward to page number 211, and I will end with this. He says, specifically now about Imam al-Mahdi, he says the following line. He says, with regards to those narrations that the Holy Prophet has said regarding vis-a-vis Imam al-Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif, it comes from both Shia sources and Sunni sources. And then he says, on page 211, al-mu'tabara min riwayatul bab are three. There's three narrations that are correct. And then he says the following. He says, 40 different narrations are from the grand scholars of Ahlus Sunnah. And he says, أورد روايات كثيرة من كتاب كفاية الطالب للشيخ محمد بن يوسف ابن محمد الشافعي. Lots of narrations have been taken from الشافعي. And then he says the following line, he says, وبالجملة في الباب روايات كثيرة من طرق أهل السنة. He says, we've got so many narrations now from أهل السنة. يقطع بها. It provides a certainty, absolute certainty. يَقْطَعُ بِهَا بِوُجُودِ الْمَهْدِ, that the Mahdi exists. عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجُهُ الشَّرِيفِ. And then he has a last line, which is sort of the nail in the coffin here. فَإِنْكَارُ الْمُنْكِرِ, and therefore the denying of the one who denies. نَشَأَ مِنْ جَهْلِهِ, it stems from none other than his ignorance. أو من عناده, or from his stubbornness of not accepting this very fundamental and very across the board principle of the Imam existing and the Imam being the last and final of the Prophet's prophecy.
And it's important that somebody who's collected the Sahih Ahadith, so even from a strict Rijali perspective,
very much so.
Even from that perspective, we can show that the Mahdi is an established fact with those details that we mentioned as well. Let alone looking at it from a more wider perspective and looking for authentication other than the Rijali aspect. So there's definitely more than enough details that is there from the Prophet and the Imams about this person, and he's that Mahdi who's going to Ghaibah. And we'll discuss more about him, inshallah. Thank you so much, Sheikh Imran. It was really an amazing discussion. A lot of really beautiful hadiths that were read. And hopefully the brothers and sisters benefited from this session. So inshallah, we'll continue the discussion on the Mahdi, talking now more about the wisdom behind the Ghaibah, how does this match with the role of Imamah, and then looking at looking at it from the historical perspective, inshallah, what was going on around the time. In fact, looking at it from the different Imams' perspective, inshallah, all of these things will become clearer down the line. And finally, going into actually our duties during this Ghaibah. So inshallah, we'll continue in the next session. So until then, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.